Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan in the state of New York, and country of the United States, planet Earth. What we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the weather ahead and the week ahead, what it's going to be like and how we can work with it productively or not productively, as the case may be. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, sometimes you don't want to be productive. You're not in the mood. And as I said, last week was going to be a tough week. And it was. I had a lot of people going, you know, like, whoa, man. And it was hard closing aspects all week long. And then Thursday, Friday, we got a little burst of fire because the moon went into Aries. And I did want to, I got a nice email from somebody commenting on my comment about the Grand Trine in fire. And in light of the Oakland, the fire in Oakland and the people who died there. And when, you know, I referenced it and I said, that's an example of fast fire. And they took, you know, they had friends who died in the fire and they felt badly about me saying it that way. So I do want to apologize for hurting feelings. Didn't mean to do that. But when there's a trine, it's fast. It's really speedy. It's really, you know, it's easy. And we think of trines as being good. But when there's nothing to stop it, a square has a pause. A square makes us go, okay, I have to consciously take action. Fire trines, you know, take off. And I remember back when I was a baby astrologer, and there was a mythic astrologer named Wendy Ashley, and it was a summer of rain, and there was a grand trine in water in the sky. And there were floods all up and down the seaboard. There were cities in the Mississippi River getting flooded. And she said, too much water. The ancients would say there was too much water in the sky so that we have too much flooding. So there's too much fire in the sky. We're going to have fiery things. Think of all the people you've been having fiery conversations with or the fiery conversations you've witnessed. And because it's a trine, there's nothing to prevent it from escalating. So not to say trines are good and they're easy and why would a trine call all these people to die in Oakland? It's because it went really fast. And, you know, when you looked at the warehouse, it was full of things that could catch on fire. And it went up the wooden stairs, which are fire, and fire goes up. And trines are, quote unquote, good, but sometimes too much of a good thing. So no disrespect meant to the people who died in Oakland or their friends. You know, I received an email from one of my students, Lucy, and her daughter and son. The son was supposed to play DJ that night, and the daughter had gone to San Francisco to a party, and the son was out with his friends outside of the place when the fire started. So he lived. You know, and she was pretty shaken. And, you know, when we have these events, what they do is they ask us as a collective to look at our lives and to make us figure out what we want to do. You know, so in my case, when people say to me astrology, I said, well, 9/11 was my birthday. My office was 2 blocks from the Trade Center. The office looked out on the Trade Center. We were on the 23rd floor, and our view was the Trade Center. That was it. That was the only thing you could see, just these two big buildings. And the Trade Center attacks made me go, you know, Ann, you can go to work and die. Why are you being such a wimp? Go be an astrologer. You know that's what you want to do. You know, stop being so wussy, because Virgos have anticipatory anxiety. That's just how we work. And we go, yeah, yeah, no, 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 yeah, yeah, no, no, no. It's a mutable sign. So that got me out the door. But that and the dead body smell all over downtown Manhattan, because it really was awful down there. And, you know, these events make us think. There's always a crash, graduation time with young children killed, and all the kids that survive, you know, their friends have died and they realize life is short and go off to college with that. It's kind of a collective marker, and it asks us fire to see things in a different way. So I certainly meant no disrespect to the Oakland people and to my listeners out in California who lost people in that fire. But because it is a triangle in fire, it's going to be all year long, and it's going to get tighter and stronger and more passionate. So for all of you who go, wow, my place could go up like fast, smoke detectors, fire extinguishers, you know, check the fire code and make sure you know the other exits. Honor that what the lesson of the fire teaches. And certainly for the young people who died in that fire and their families and their friends, you know, they are a lasting memory in our heart, and also the didn't get caught in the case of Lucy's daughter and her boyfriend. But it also is it wakes up something in us, and it helps us see the world in a slightly different way. So this week we have, a big week, a little less contentious than last week, which is good, although I have to say, is not a whole lot better than last week, but it's not going to be nearly as crabby as last week was. Last week was a week with a lot of endings in it, so I had a lot of people getting fired or getting laid off or, you know, having problems. This week is more about our choices. So the beginning of the week is nice, the middle of the week is a little separative and angry, and then the back end of the week is also separative. So, you know, Monday, Tuesday, good for getting things done. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, separating, ending, releasing. And sometimes we have these patches, you know, where we're releasing, and you go, geez, Louise, I don't think I have anything left to release. You do, because the heavens are saying release. So our job with this energy is just to go, okay, what else, how else, where do we go, what do we need, what's that next journey? So we big feature of the week is the full moon. We have a full moon this week on Tuesday on December 13th at 7:05 p.m. in the chart cast for Washington. It gives a 23-degree Cancer rising in the Sabian images for this lovely full moon. Are three chicklets, three fledglings in a nest. Okay, that's the Gemini moon. Three fledglings in a nest high in a tree. So that suggests new beginnings or new ideas. And, of course, that's on the new moon in Gemini, the full moon in Gemini. And then the other image is the sun in Sag, which is immigrants entering a new country. So we're going to hear immigrant stuff this week on the full moon. And we go back, of course, to when the Gemini moon met in Gemini time, which would have been in May, in June, rather, of 2015, was when this new moon happened. And then there was the opening square in February of 16, which was Pisces time. And now we have the full moon energy, which is when we really see it. So the fledgling chicks and the new immigrants entering the country, of course, brings to mind Obama's plan for granting citizenship or process of becoming citizens to the children that were brought here young and don't have citizenship, of which there's some 700,000. And, of course, that's a list with everybody's name and everybody's address, which, of course, has the illegal parents attached to it. So I know here in New York we've said we're not giving you the list. So it'll be interesting to see if that's in the news this week. I always try to anticipate what the full moons are about. But for all of us, it's going to be where we're being asked to enter a new country in some way, shape, or form that we don't understand. And we're going to be looking at it as, you know, if you think about that sense of anticipation, you know, in New York here, my friend Michelle, who's a client, been a client for 12 years, who knew it was that long, she and the Vanilla Reindeer, her mom and her Aunt Polly, who are twins, and they look alike, and they had matching coats. So the guy in Times Square called them the Vanilla Reindeer, which was very cute because they both have white hair. They went to Ellis Island as part of their trip here to New York last week. And if you've ever come to New York and gone to Ellis Island, it makes you cry because it's this, you know, it's the country of hope. And it's right behind the Statue of Liberty. They used to sail into the New York Harbor and go right by the Statue of Liberty and land in Ellis Island, and they would be processed there depending on, you know, how they arrived. And they would mark things on their coats with an X for eye problems, with, you know, maybe this one's a little deranged, maybe this one has, and they would test them medically. They would look to see if they had glaucoma or they had some illness that would maybe put them on the public dole. Women could not be released without someone picking them up, because then they might go to a bad way. And then it was right next to the train station where they would then get shipped across the country to wherever they were going. So it's a really beautiful and amazing place. And when you go there, you cry. Now, my relatives came over, Dutch East India Company, for the father's side of the family. And so they were here for a long time. They were doing trading up in Albany with fur, and back when there was beaver fur being traded in Albany. And then I got a bunch of Irish that came over in the potato famine and actually settled here in New York. My great-great-grandmother was born on 44th Street on the west side in Hell's Kitchen. And we have this transition or this tradition of arriving in this country and saying, hey, you know, here I am. And the country was really built on the back of immigrants. You know, I read an immigrant yesterday. He's an immigrant in another country, not his own. But he's like, yes, the immigrants work very, very hard. We're very hardworking because we want a new life. We've left where we are, and we're going to a new life. So this week, that theme is up. Now, in your case, you may not be immigrating, but you may be going into a new life. And it's a life you started planning in the springtime of 15. And you're like a baby fledgling, and you're up in a high tree. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever those birds learn how to fly, you know, I grew up upstate, we had birds in the trees, and when they would fly, it was always a little nerve-wracking, you know. They're like taking off and getting ready to go, and, you know, and they got to jump off the branch, and hopefully their wings work, and what happens if they don't? And, you know, so the whole idea of being a fledgling or being a new immigrant, it's that energy. Now, a lot of times that energy makes people nervous because we think we're supposed to know how to do everything. And I want you to know you're not supposed to know how to do everything. It's okay to try again. And remember that North Nodes in Virgo with a little anticipatory anxiety. If you find yourself in a situation where you are the newbie, it's okay. And if you find yourself in a situation where there are newbies, go over to them and say, hi, welcome. When they would get to Ellis Island, there was bananas, and there were a lot of them had never had a banana before, and they would write home about these amazing things called bananas that they had for the first time ever when they got to Ellis Island. So, you know, there's a whole new world, and donuts. They never had donuts, and they were like, wow, this is a good country, bananas and donuts. Now, I totally get that. You know, it's like, yeah. So our job this week is we're going to be having that feeling. Now, beginner mind is Gemini mind, and we have Gemini the beginning part of the week. The moon's in Gemini. So everybody get their moon calendars out, and let's talk about what the moon's doing this week. Now, the reason we like the moon is the moon rules things. It rules the tides of the ocean, closest planet to us, big effect. And when the moon is void of course, things just don't work the way they're supposed to because the moon's on vacay. And the premise of void, of course, is we're supposed to lay back, relax, do stuff that's tied to our spiritual path, you know, read, meditate, nothing doing, you know, more being. And we are human doings very often. So remember, the void moons are about doings. And because the moon is in new areas, we can have some long void moons like we did last week. This week we don't have long void moons, but, you know, we're going to bounce between the long and the short void moons because of where the planets are in the sky. And what a void moon is when the moon makes the last Ptolemaic aspect to the planets in the heavens, and then he's kind of flying free. Think of it as letting go of the trapeze and swinging over to the next guy on the next trapeze who's going to catch you. That's what the moon does. He's flying through the air. She's flying through the air. And she's not making any aspects. She's not hanging on into bars, you know, not swinging back and forth on the trapeze, getting her speed up. She's just flying through the air, hanging out, having a good time. And she either gets caught by the guy or she falls into the net. But she's happy. So So that's your that's what you're supposed to do on void moons. So the moon on the 12th is Gemini moon, and it goes into the moon at 7:41 a.m. Eastern Time, and it's in there on Monday and Tuesday, and it goes void at 12:57 a.m. with a trine to Mars. So moon in Gemini is trining Mars in Aquarius, which is kind of a detached, clinical, figuring it out, working hard kind of Mars. It's void all night, so this is more important for the European listeners, but at 7:09 a.m. Eastern Time, it goes into Cancer on the 14th Wednesday, and it's in Cancer Wednesday, it's in Cancer Thursday, and it goes void at 4:37 p.m. Thursday afternoon, early evening, and it's void all night long, Thursday night, and it's void all night, early morning, going into Leo on the 16th. Now, the void aspect, when it goes void in the Cancer moon, is a moon square Uranus. Now, Uranus is in Aries, so this is a fire moon, okay? So this is a day for some fires, and I'm going to start saying that just because you're going to be running into them a lot. Now, this can be a fiery discussion. This can be just fire tipping over. It's just a fiery energy. And then we go to the moon going into Leo, which, of course, is a fire moon, on the 16th. And what the moon in Leo is on Friday the 16th, Saturday all day, and then it goes void at 11:55 in the morning on Sunday the 18th, and it goes void with an opposition to Mars. Now, the fire moon in Leo creates what we call a grand triangle in fire on Saturday, because it's going to trine the Saturn, and it's going to trine the Uranus. So it trines the Saturn at 6:24 p.m., and it trines the Uranus at 7:57 p.m. on Saturday in East Coast time. Those are danger times for fire going out of control, okay? And I don't want to be negative astrology, but I do want us to all understand too much fire in the sky. That can also be just lose it with somebody because you're annoyed. You know, I have a party that meets at my house every week, and we had a little passionate discussion earlier today. And I was like, okay, we're going to change charts now. We're not going to do this. Because it was like getting a little wild, and that's, you know, it's very fiery out there. So you have to honor the fire energy. The other thing we are in, we're in the approach to Mercury's station. Mercury is going to station to go retrograde next Monday on the 19th at 5:55 in the morning. So we're in the approach to the shadow. This is when it gets big. Now, Mercury this year, this month, this Mercury retrograde is in Capricorn. Capricorn is an earth sign. That means things break, okay? When Mercury retrogrades in an earth sign, we break things. Just kind of stuff disappears, falls apart, you know, just breaks. So earlier this week, my French press broke, right? We use the French press for coffee here in the office. I had this really pretty little pink set of sushi plates. The soy sauce thing jumped out of the counter and hit the floor, smashing into a million pieces. Cell phones, dropping, breaking, falling, big time. Back up your computers. Your hard drive's making a little weird noise. The fan's going, rrr, rrr, rrr. Get it backed up. Call your IT guy. Because Mercury retrograde is a physical Mercury this year. Car engine flashing, bring it into the dealer. Trust me, when this puppy stations to go retrograde from the 22nd, from the 19th through the 10th of January, lots of breakdowns of physical things because the retrograde is in Capricorn, in an earth sign, answering to Saturn in Sagittarius in a fire sign. So watch for fires. You know, I had one of my kitchen lights kind of burned out with a little sizzle smell. And I went, So I asked my friend, my piano teacher, who's kind of a techie guy, I said, can you check that lamp and see if it's okay? Because it kind of went, and it smelled a little like burning. And he was like, okay, you know, and I'm like, eh. So what you want to do, it's a fire Mercury, but Mercury's in Capricorn answering to a fiery Saturn in a grand trine in fire. So careful with those Christmas tree lights. Water that tree. Don't hang lights, you know, don't overload the circuits. Just, you know, Uranus is electrical. Sagittarius is candles, Leo is fireplaces. just Grand Trine and Fire. Careful, careful. And I'm not, you know, not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say watch the energy. So that's the moons this week. Gemini, which is communication Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, a little more aggravated. Sunday afternoon at 12:52 p.m., the moon goes into Virgo, which also has a hard closing aspect of a square to the sun. So Monday, Tuesday, good days to get things out the door. The rest of the week's a little cranky, crabby. Because people are going to be cranky, crabby moons, and Mercury's stationing, and communications are screwy, and open your coffee and check that they put the cream in. Make sure that you, you know, you say, okay, remember, double pickles, whatever it is, you know, double check. We also have, you know, to add to the story, Mercury's out of bounds. So somebody wrote to me and said, Mercury retrograde already? And I'm like, no, but Mercury's out of bounds. So we're having out of bounds communications right now. And everybody's a little wired, so you kind of go, wow, out-of-bounds communications, interesting. And you'll find that things get pretty fiery pretty fast, even if you think it's calm. So we got a little fiery early on, and I kind of changed the charts, and then it got fiery again. And I went, wow, this is just like the fire just wants to take off. Now, fortunately, it was two Aquarians, and they love each other, and they hugged and kissed as one left. But it was definitely, you know, the air signs were getting fiery, you know, so we're going to watch. All right, so this week, the sun is going to go from 20 Sag through 27 Sag, and it's going to be a busy bee in those last degrees of Sag. So it's entering the Leo section of the sun, right? 20 to 30 is Leo, the Leo decant of Sag. So it's fireplace energy. And it has a lovely trine to Uranus on the 12th, which kicks, you know, the sun comes in now, and he kicks off the fire energy. And he says, yeah, let's go. Let's have a fire. So that happens on December 12th, and then he has a square to Chiron, which brings up the old wound on the 12th also. And that can be in the middle of the night because of the dream energy. And then he has a lovely trine to Ceres, because Ceres is in Aries over there hanging out with Uranus, on the 12th, and then he has a trine to Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 13th. So that's a good day to have a fight with people, right, on the evening of the 13th. And then you go off and go, wah, 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 wah. And then the sun is kind of quiet for a couple of days, and he has a quintile aspect to Neptune on the 18th, so he's very inspired with new ideas, and he sees the patterns that he wants to work with on the 18th, also as he has a working aspect with Pallas Athena in Aquarius. So the beginning of the week through the 13th, you know, there's a lot of activity with the sun, and then he kind of quiets down. And the sun is also semi-square Venus, so there's a push there for her and the sun to kind of work things out. On the 17th, the evening of the 17th, which is Saturday night, people are going to be a little more like, I'm right, you're wrong. So just kind of watch for that energy because Mercury and the sun are parallel. Mercury's moving very slowly. We know sometimes he goes 3 degrees. This week, he's going from 10 degrees of Capricorn to 14. Okay, he's going 4 degrees in a day, in 7 days. So he is really poking along. And because he's in Earth sign, he's very practical. Remember when Mercury's in Capricorn, if we dig a hole in the earth, it stays there. Mercury in Capricorn does not hear nuance. It doesn't get nuance, doesn't know nuance, not comfortable with nuance, kind of like, what's nuance? I'm not sure I even want to know about nuance. He doesn't have any particular aspects this week. He's talking to Juno in a blind spot on the 14th, so you can have some unexpected news around partnerships on Wednesday. But the rest of the week, he's kind of quiet, except getting ready for his station. Venus is running from 4 Aquarius to 12 Aquarius, so she's going more than a degree a day, and she's pretty busy. So Venus is our planet of love and our connection, and so she has a deep connection on the 11th today to Pluto, where she says, let's get passionate, let's get excited, you know. And so we've got a very passionate energy as she works. And then she's also opposite Vesta, saying, okay, let's get rid of some stuff in the house. Let's clean it up. Let's get it good looking. On the 13th, she makes a decision about a relationship. Now, she is in Aquarius, which is a sign for Venus that's a little chilly. It's more the group love, the agape love, the generalized love, as opposed to the personal love. And so when Venus is in Aquarius, talking to the nodes in Virgo and Pisces in a hard aspect, she's saying, I'm trying to be emotionally detached about this situation, but I'm finding it very difficult. So you're going to run into some kind of situation on Wednesday the 13th, or Tuesday the 13th, rather, where you're going to want to be detached, but it's going to be a little hard. And you're going to be like, you know, man, this is tough. You know, so all last week I had a situation that I just really wasn't up for dealing with, right? I just couldn't deal with it. I kept going, I have to deal with this. And I'm a Virgo. I avoid things. That's how we handle it when we don't know how to do it. And I was having Saturn square my Sun, and I was having Venus, Sun and Saturn were meeting, you know, and a once a year kind of end things thing. And I was just like, And then finally I had a breakthrough. So Venus has a little breakthrough this week with Uranus on the 14th, where she gets a new way of doing it, or she gets an idea of how to do it. And I'm looking at that and going, yeah, I kind of think I know how I want to handle that situation now. So whatever you were struggling with last week, you know, as we get into this week, you may have a solution for it, or you may know what you want to do with it or how you want to handle it on a different level, and that's good. Venus has a quintile to Ceres on the 15th, so she's very productive that day. And she has a quintile to Uranus on the 14th, giving her permission to try new things. She also is in the blind spot of Neptune. Now, remember, Neptune cleaned out the closets on November 20th when he went down the South Node, and he started to go forward. So now you may find out that something you let go of on the 20th or the 19th you actually need. And that's okay. Remember, Mercury retrograde, it helps us know we need stuff, but also make sure you back up your pictures, because that's the day when they're going to go down the memory hole. Like, so you've got all these pictures on your cell phone, you haven't backed them up in a while, back them up, because that's the 15th, right as Mercury's stopping. Right? Whenever Mercury stops, because right after that, Venus is contraparallel in Medos. So just watch carefully the things that are beautiful, valuable to you, that you like. And with Venus in Aquarius, it could be very well like my little soy sauce dish. It just jumped right out of the cupboard into the floor. And the pot of coffee, you know, it just cracked and opened. It was like, okay, I guess we have to get a new French press. Mars this week, 24 Aquarius to 29 Aquarius. So he's very active in the last decan of Aquarius, which is the Libran section. So Mars in Aquarius is looking for partnering, looking for figuring out how to partner in a detached way. He has a parallel to Lilith on the 14th, really irritating anybody. You know, Mars in Aquarius can be a little bit, you know, I know everything, I'm superior. Mm-hmm. And when he aspects Lilith on the 14th, which is Wednesday, he can invoke the dark moon energy, because dark moon Lilith is up and running. He also conjuncts Pallas Athena on the 14th, so it's very wise to be very strategic about how you want to proceed then. And you want to have your ducks in a row. If you have a meeting with your boss about your value or your worth, that's the day to have a preparation about what all you've done. And then he's parallel with Juno on the 18th, giving you permission to move forward. And he also is square to Admetos on the 18th, saying something is done. So that's Mars kind of wrapping up stuff. Jupiter is quiet this week. Saturn is sesquiquadrate to Vesta, kind of looking for a little space clearing on the 17th. Uranus is not doing much. Pluto's not doing much. Chiron is aspecting Ceres and inviting her to work with him in a new way. Vesta's not doing much. Pallas Athena's not doing much. Ceres aspects the nodes of fate on the 14th, asking you to reevaluate and rework your diet, your nutritional program, or how you do things. And there's a big health aspect on the 15th, so if anything pops, then go to the doctor. And that would be around 5:57 p.m. on the 15th. To the doctor you go. No fooling around, because it's on the nodes of fate, and it can look minor, but don't go to bed. Go to the doctor. And then that's it. That's last but not least. So we have a nice week, and it'll be a lot of fun. Remember, Christmas presents are coming. Gift certificates available on my website if you want to give a gift of astrology. That's a wonderful, ecologically sound gift. No trees are destroyed unless they come in person and I print the trees, print the charts. And we do have, you know, the stressful back end of the week. And I'd like to apologize for stressful back ends of weeks. You know, Saturday is productive and a lot of fun, even though it's stressful. But, you know, just kind of know we're really working with this big energy. And as Mars hits the end of Aquarius and Mercury comes to station, Saturday, Sunday also is often going to be filled with really interesting pieces of information for you. So you do want to pay attention to what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're learning. And on that note, I sign up from the Bright Red Desk. Take care and have a great week. Bye.